Thank you, Karen. I don't have a poster associated with this. When I was contacted, this is really, I think, a great opportunity, because the five-minute lightning round, the question was, in your discipline, which image, which figure do you think has had a huge impact or is very important? So I thought that's a great question, but it's a hard question. And for me, I was thinking, well, you know, the Guile morphogenetic stages, or Yenny's plotting carbonate depth versus annual precipitation. But I thought the one that I would pick is the illustration by Buellhole and McCracken in their first edition, 1973, the prairie soil, forest soil boundary. And that's it. So here you have, and again, it's 1973, so if you look at the forest ecosystem, you have an O horizon, you have an A1 that now we call an A horizon. The A2 then was now our E horizon, and then a B. And so these are the podzolic soils. That B could be a BT with high base saturation, an alfasol. It could be a BHS, a spodosol, or you know, an ultrasol with an argillic low base saturation. But as you move across, you move into, you know, more from the really eutic into, you know, more oustic type, you develop that molycapepeton. And so it's just a cross section. And so I think it's important for six reasons. Okay. The first reason is it really is a global boundary. What I mean by that is its extent is you know, basically the alfasol contact across the you know, steppes of Eurasia. We've got the ultrasols here and the alfasols and even some spodosols. And but in the mountainous region, like in the western United States, we have that boundary in many places. So this is another classic image. This is from Yenny's you know, Factors of Soil Formation, but it's by James Thorpe. And you find this a lot in the deserts as you go up in elevation. You also go up in rainfall. And so you go through, you know, Moloch, and basically you enter into the sky island ecosystems, and you lose the Moloch, and again you have the O and the A and the E. And so, but the second reason I think it's important is it really does link soil morphology with the ecosystem to show that those two are definitely linked, and primarily in the way that carbon enters the system. So here you got carbon that basically parachutes from above, lands on the land surface, as compared to the Moloch, which is more of an injection, almost like a hypodermic needle injecting carbon. So you have fine roots that have a very short lifespan, that die and decompose, and so versus material dropping from the land surface. And instead of fine roots, you have woody roots. So that's the second reason that I think that is important. The third reason is it illustrates the metaphor of soil memory. So if you imagine that this boundary expanded into the mollisol, you can imagine that, well, the O horizon is going to form real quickly. But how long is it going to take an E horizon to form? How long is it going to take to burn up that that carbon in the alluvial horizon? And or in contrast, if you have the boundary move in this direction, you would imagine that the memory loss would be faster, meaning that it wouldn't, my guess, it wouldn't take long for the E horizon, the A2 in this, to basically be plugged up with carbon, to become a moloch. Okay. The third reason is, you know, we talk a lot about carbon sequestration and changes in carbon stocks. We talk about the amount, but again, here we're talking about the structure. You know, where you have a lot of above ground biomass versus below ground humus. And as these boundaries shift either one way or the other, what's the structure in addition to the amount of carbon going to be like? The fifth reason that I like this one is it really is a communication tool. So when I taught soil classification, students, they get this. You know, they understand that you're talking podzolic in the sense that you got eluvial, illuvial versus non-podzolic. You know, whether we're talking about true podzols or spodosols or the alfasol, ultrasol concept. And the last reason I like this, and I think this is the most important, is it shows pedology as a unique science. I mean, this is not geology. This is not biogeochemistry. This is pedology. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Okay. So, with that, thank you.
Thanks, Curtis. Okay, so now we're in a question and answer period. So if any of our presenters are still here, I see a couple of you. Anyone have questions, thoughts? Time. Tony.
I was just wondering if maybe there might be a role for videos to sort of help with that gender parity issue.
Videos.
How about that? Just do we have a society-sponsored YouTube channel where people could be inspired by others inspiring videos in terms of recruiting?
Yeah, I think film is a really amazing platform to tell stories. I got to participate in an F-Score film workshop, and it like changed my life. I don't know, in terms of communication and getting information out there, making movies is really hard, so I will still leave that to the professionals, but I like the idea for sure. Yeah.
I have a question too. Is there a way to look at that? Is there data looking at the historical trends of those distributions? Is it, I assume we're on a trajectory towards the trend, but I don't know what that is.
We're on a trajectory. Yeah, that's the issue. Is I want to know what the graduate student population looked like when I was a graduate student. So I'll be, I mean, just mining that data is going to be so challenging. It'd be calling up Marty. Can you remember all the students that were there? It's a possibility, but it would be an effort. And I think if there was a lot of energy behind it, we could go backwards. We have Pam was just telling you, Pam Thomas. Pam, she was just saying that they have federal data back till when?
Well, at least 2010, probably.
Okay, so a little bit further back. But you know what? Right now we have a time point. And then in a decade, when these graduate students are in those faculty roles, we'll be able to see where we are. Yeah.
So the gender issue is quite complicated. Nationwide, there's a rapid and dramatic decline in males going to college, being arrested. It's not just soil science. And number two, there's even bigger decline in those sectors of the population not going to college. Part of this is complicated by baby boomers not having children anymore. So we reach what academics and pedagogues in the field call the people problem. And that's going to probably result in about 15-25% drop nationwide in going to college. And then that will result in numerous proposals to do this one thing about students or income. But I know at Penn State, the ratio has flipped. Pretty rare to see a male student applying to grad school in soils, where ecology is very heavily dominated.
Yeah, we reached out to 78 universities across the United States for graduate student data. We got 22 back, so there's more work to be done in that respect. So if you have graduate student data for your department that houses soil science, please reach out and be that connection. It's hard to go through admissions and get those data, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that decline. Other authors are open to questions for them too. Yeah, Matt.
Continue with that idea or an outlet to continue this discussion. Some of you may know already the Soil Horizons journal that's sort of been cut away because of budget issues, I guess, is coming back as something called Slow Communications. The name is still not yet settled, but it may be in the format of a blog, and so it would be more interactive and allow things like video and media to come to play. So just so everyone knows, this is, you know, Soar Horizons, and the name is gone, but we're trying to bring back something similar and maybe a little bit more interactive.
Great. Yes, Zach.
I just want to point out that we're talking about gender disparity, and only men have spoken about it. So maybe if women have a platform for this, like in the school environment, why is it the men are women's talking forum?
I'm right here. On the school environment. Yeah, we want to start the conversation. We want everyone talking, because I think it's an issue that affects everyone. But yeah, so we want to hear what you have to say. So shout from the rafters. We're here to listen. That's what I'm here to do. With this poster, I'm not walking a single person through the poster. I will answer a question based on my personal opinion, but we want the data to speak for themselves. So. Okay, should we adjourn? Go find some lunch? Go to some more meetings? Okay, everybody, we'll see you this afternoon.